Well, thanks for having us again. It's great to always be here amongst you guys down here. I want to start by saying there's nothing quite like being immersed in a different culture for a few years to be able to notice some of the things about your own culture here in Australia when you come back to it. Now, yes, here in Australia we do love our family, our football and our food as well, but it's just in a different way. And it's just slightly a little bit different. But one of the bigger differences for me, especially since we've been back here for about a month or so, is the way that we express our emotions. Or we don't. People from Latin America are famous for being very passionate people. Why do you think they're famous for that? Well, because it's true. You know what they're feeling. You know what they're feeling. Whether you see it in, you know, gross public displays of affection, in parks, on trains, just in the street from couples, or in loud and animated discussions, or just in the custom of greeting people. You greet everyone with a hug, big manly hug if you're a bloke, and a kiss. And you always got to go to the right side. Don't try and go the other way. You'll headbutt someone. But you always... You have to kiss and hug everybody, absolutely everybody. Whether it's your boss, you go to the doctor, everything, seriously. The difference is real. And actually, you know, for the last month I've felt a bit weird, to be honest. It feels like I'm not expressing very well the joy I feel when I'm with people, when you say hello, or just when you're with people. It's really interesting. It's very interesting. Now, it's interesting, but it's not a big deal. But it's interesting because, to me, it helps us to think about and apply the idea of how it is we express our Christian love for one another. How it is we ought to be expressing our Christian love for each other as we're commanded to by Jesus, as God commands us in his word. I want to suggest today that the part of the Bible we're looking at briefly in... the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, I think we have a model. And he models three things that we can do to express our Christian love for each other. And in the middle of your green sheets there are the three things. You say it, you display it, and you pray it. They all rhyme, so we can all remember at least one of them. You say it, you display it, and you pray it. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but verses 17 to 20. And in this part of the letter, it's likely that Paul's defending himself from some people who might have been having a go at him for just leaving them and not coming back, saying that, oh, look, you don't really care about us. Maybe you are nothing more than a con man. But in reply, Paul stresses that the reason he hasn't yet gone back is not because he doesn't want to. It's not because he doesn't love them. And so he points out his deep feelings for them. And how does he do it? Well, to start with, he says it. He says it, and he uses words to highlight just how deep his love is for them. And we've translated them as in intense longing. I think that's the strongest words that we could think of. But it's this feeling of deep feelings of love, not surface emotional feelings, more like family love, you know, the love that you have for your children or your family. It's a genuine love. It's part of who you are. And so he expresses in his words that even though, yes, he wasn't physically with them, he was still thinking of them. And for good measure, he says that, well, every effort's been made to come back because of our intense longing. It's like he's stacking up a pile of words to show how much he does love them, how much he really does want to be there. And so here's maybe our first Australian cultural challenge. Actually saying stuff that shows our love and saying it clearly. I don't know about you, but I've always found it difficult when people actually say nice things to you. Just little example, you know, if somebody said to me, oh, nice hair, what's the first thing I'd think? oh, what's the matter with it? You know, oh, nice shirt. You go, what, did I spill my breakfast? What's the matter with it? It's, you know, it's just hard for us to express and accept in words what we're actually feeling, truthfully. And because of that, I think even we can struggle to express in our words our genuine deep feelings for one another. And maybe even us as Christians in the church. And perhaps that reflects the way that we as Christians struggle to break free from the cultural expectations of our society in general. I mean, if you think about our society in general, it's usually only in extreme circumstances that we in Australia can let our guard down long enough to express truly in our words the love that we have. Whether it's in, you know, really hard circumstances, or whether somebody's had too much to drink, then they usually let their guard down and all love you, you know. But yeah, apart from those kind of circumstances, it's really hard for our culture to express genuinely our words. And maybe we ought to change that as Christians. But one of the things in Chile, it can be the opposite struggle for me in that culture. I've found that people are more than happy to say, oh yes, I really love you and I love what you're doing here, when in reality they don't. I've found that Chile would prefer to say they love you to avoid any conflict. They just don't want any conflict, and even if it's not true. And that spills over into the church as well. You know, would you like to come over? Yeah, sure, that'd be a great idea. Never happens. Because the people in the church in Chile also struggle to be different from the cultural expectations of their society, just as much as we do. But what we see again and again in God's word is that followers of Jesus ought to be countercultural where it's needed. And we get Paul's example for us here in Australia to maybe go against our culture and actually say in words, express in words, our love for one another. I mean, in verses 19 and 20, he goes on to talk about them as being his glory and joy. He says, when Jesus does return, Paul's going to see his church, see those people who have believed and trusted in the death and resurrection of Jesus for their forgiveness. He's going to see them in heaven, and he's going to celebrate. So if we want to express the love that we're commanded by God to have for one another, first step, say it. Genuinely express it in our words to one another. Well, step number two in expressing our love for someone is to display it. Say it and then display it, or just show it. In the first half of chapter 3, we read that Paul sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage the church, literally to build them up. Now, Paul and the people he was with in Athens were being persecuted. They needed Timothy. They wanted Timothy to be with them. But out of their love for the Thessalonians, they sent Timothy to them. Now, before I went to Chile with CMS, I was a parish minister for 10 years in a couple of different parishes. It is always a difficult thing. It was always difficult to send one of my leaders to another church that needed them. It's always difficult to send somebody that you've been discipling and raising up to Bible college to have them train, or to the mission field, or to another church to help out somewhere else. But that's what displaying love is all about, putting the other's needs ahead of your own needs or ahead of your own desires. But as a living in a different culture, it can always, it's a bit dicey. It can be a bit worrying, how best do I display my love? It's always difficult to know the best way to display it in the appropriate way. I feel like I want to do this, but will that actually cause offence? Or is that actually the right way to show it? It's kind of like, well, now in Australia, I'm feeling a bit rude sometimes. When, you know, because if I was to kiss everybody here, all the women, that'd be a bit creepy, wouldn't it? If I was to come along and greet every one of you with a hug and a kiss, it's a bit weird. But I'm feeling a bit weird because I'm not doing it. It's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. Because most of us, it's easy to display it in the right way. Because we're in this culture and we kind of know without saying what's the best way to do things, what's the best way to display our love. And so, in one sense, it should be easy for us to display our Christian love for one another. But can I suggest one very simple way that we can display our Christian love for one another? Is to actually meet together. You can't display your love for somebody if you're not actually face-to-face meeting with them. Because here in the book of Thessalonians, we see Paul desperately wants to meet with the people of the church because it's the most basic way of displaying your love. Whether it's gathering together on a Sunday, whether it's during the week, or whether it's just sharing a meal or some time with people in your church family. It's the number one basic way of displaying your love. And so here in Thessalonians, Paul's expressing how much he wants to meet with them. Well, in the first instance, because he says he was scared for them. He was scared whether about these people that he loves so much can survive as Christians. Because he knows that they are facing temptations, they are facing struggles, and he actually knows that because they are Christians, they are being persecuted. Now, we could spend a few hours about what these verses have to say about how being a Christian is to face trials and persecution and temptation. It's not about having all the victory here and now. But maybe Richard could do a sermon series on that later. Because for now, I just want to leave you with the thought that we can't think that being a Christian makes our life in this world hurt-free or problem-free. In fact, if you look at it, the Bible promises the opposite. But we can leave that for another time, because what I wanted to focus on today is what Paul does about it. He puts the needs of the people he loves ahead of his own, these people who are struggling. He sends them Timothy, who he actually needs to be with him, by his words and then by his actions. He repeats what we already know, that it's important to Paul that the Thessalonians still trust in Jesus, are still growing and maturing. And when he gets Timothy's report back that they are still going strong, he doesn't go, "Oh man, I didn't need to send him in the first place. Well, that was a waste of time." No, he actually rejoices. It makes his life better that he's got that report, that he knows that they are being strengthened. And so he's showing us that he displays his love in two ways: by saying it and by displaying it. And how does he display it? By putting the other's needs in front of his own, and then by rejoicing when they are going well. Maybe that's a challenge for us. Put someone else's needs ahead of your own and rejoice when they are growing as Christians. Now, I'm not here telling you something you don't already know, but it is easy to ignore it, or to let another week slip by without doing anything about it because, well, life's busy and all of a sudden, oh, there's a month gone by and I haven't met with my Bible study group. It's easy to think in our heads, yes, we should display our love by putting somebody else's needs ahead of my own. But how many of us actually do it? How many of us plan to do it? What would it look like this week for you in the life of your church, if you committed to displaying your love in a practical way for somebody else sitting here this morning? There's a little challenge for you for this week. Because in the end, what Paul is doing in this part of the Bible is really just reminding us of what God himself has done for us in sending his Son to die for us. And the result of the great news that Paul heard from Timothy about the Thessalonian church was that they were modelling this love for one another. And that meant that he wanted to meet with them face to face even more than before. Not because he was scared for them now, but because he wanted to rejoice with them. So he goes on in his letter to show what else is involved in expressing love. What happens next? He just bursts into prayer. Chapter 3, verses 9 to 13 there. The last part of Paul's model for expressing Christian love. You say it, you display it, and you pray it. And it's no surprise to find that Paul prays his heart out for his church. Because in one sense, our relationships with one another are held together by prayer. Praying together as a church, praying together in smaller groups, praying with one another in person, praying for and with each other is like the glue that holds us together in one sense. And the bottom line in Paul's prayer is that he thanks God for what God is doing. He prays for those things that are on his heart concerning the people that he loves. And let me focus on verses 12 and 13. He says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." And Paul prays that the love that they already show for each other, he's not saying you don't have it, but he's saying the love that they're already showing, oh, let's get that to increase. Increase to the point where it's overflowing. So think about that for a second. Get an image of something that overflows. What happens when something is overflowing? Well, you notice it because it's not contained anymore. If you want an example, I used to like when I was a kid getting a glass with some soft drink, creaming soda normally, or sometimes some Coke. And then what would I put in it? Ice cream. Yeah, ice cream floater or spider or soda or something. But, you know, if you filled your glass up too much, went everywhere, didn't it? Yeah, and then you'd have to lick it off the counter, and that was a shame. But that's kind of the image that Paul wants each individual Christian and the church there to be loving one another so much that it just overflows. It's uncontained. It should be obvious that we're obeying Jesus' command to love one another. And why does he want that? Well, verse 13 is not really a new sentence or more of an explanation of why Paul is praying for this overflowing. Because that's what Jesus wants us to look like when he returns. That's what heaven's going to be like. Full of people whose love for one another just overflows. People who say it, display it, and pray it. And can I suggest that this is also at the heart of what CMS values in its members and its supporters? Are the four things that we see at the heart of CMS are to pray, care, give, and go. They're not as clever as me. They don't all rhyme, do they? So you can't remember them. But yeah. But I want to say, as CMS missionaries, we actually feel the love when people send us an email or a letter where they actually express in words their care for us. Where they express their Christian love by saying it. And for us, it's a wonderful thing to receive your love in this way. And we have a special commendation for us all here at Mittagong, for you all here at Mittagong. In our first year, usually the hardest, we received some wonderful things, like a short video of kids in their kids' church saying hello. It eventually got there. It took a while, but eventually got there. And we received, you know, little letters from kids to our kids. Our kids loved that. That was one concrete way that we have felt your love for us. And so we want to thank you for that. But another way that we experience your love is when you display it in other ways. When you give to CMS to allow us to continue to serve God as your partners in Chile. You not only send us, but continue to provide for us. And we feel loved knowing that you show your love for us in this way. Or perhaps you might have the opportunity to go and visit. Or just go somewhere else. To send some people from your own church family to serve God somewhere else. Amongst people who really need them. And most importantly, we experience your love for us when you pray it. And personally, I never really understood how deeply you can be affected by knowing that somebody on the other side of the world, who you really don't know that well, is praying for you. It's a wonderful thing. And know that we have people on the other side of the world praying for you as well. It's an amazing thing to experience the love of God's people who are praying for each other from different sides of the world. And we've got our little cards. If you want to express your love that way and partner with us, please take one of these. So you can remember to pray for us. There's even some pictures and a short description of what we're doing. But there's also this tear-off card here that if you want to receive directly from CMS our prayer points, you can fill in your details and tick the box to say you want to receive our prayer points. Or if you want to care for us by giving, you can fill in some details there as well and give them to Richard, and he'll make sure they get to CMS. But that's one concrete way you can care for us. But it's not just for us that you ought to be applying this example from this part of the Bible. In your own community right here is where you need to begin. I mean, look around. Don't look at me, look around. Look around. There are people here. In fact, this is your family who you ought to be expressing your Christian love for. Say it. Display it. Pray it this week. Commit to doing it for one another. Now look, if you're not sure where you might start in your prayers for your brothers and sisters, start by maybe copying Paul's prayer from chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, this is the prayer that I'm going to pray for all of you right now as I finish. So let me finish with this prayer, or it's kind of like a blessing for all of you here. Let's pray. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.